from what?
Antiquity and medieval.
This is modernity. Everything is transferred into a geometrical line. You have a perspective, you have relations, and so on. And for example, speech is not, it's not necessary to transfer it any longer to lecture to letters. You mechanically can transfer the sound of the speech into these lines, and you're able to reproduce them. So the observation is not any longer the word, it's the sound, and it's and these kind of new attributes. So there are new concepts which are in the center of interest. And this is our time, this is the sea level. And the major thing there is that there's no intuition any longer. It's discontinuity. This is continuity. 98% of what we are able to think, what we are able to read, what is in discourse and so on, is on continuity. And people really are afraid of losing continuity, or and they call it intuition. So that you're able to see, to be able to imagine what's going on there, and follow lines. Lines of argumentations, lines of reflections, and so on. What are mechanical lines? So it's a major discrepancy, the major difference between B and A is that we lost the continuity. So with the O and the 1, and with computer technologies and electricity and so on, we had been able to find a substrate for our culture which is based on discontinuity. So then we can see the artifacts of what architecture is, for example, or what politics or economics is doing and so on. In principle, I think it's important to try to look at the phenomena, actual cultural phenomena, just as played on a monitor. Monitor means you have discontinuity, an array of discontinuous points, and you have to decide whether there's a line, a circle, or whatever. It's not the nature. It's not by intuition. There's no necessity to bring pixels into a certain order, but that we want it like that. So there's a principal difference. So now you can see, of course, these are monitors, no problem, but this as well. These are monitors. Or this from Herzog Dimmerhorn. Zum Tor Olgiati. Just try. There's no necessity to do it like that. It's a story, a serious story, displayed on a discontinuous monitor. So, and then there are certain stories. And this is what we want to find out. What is the kind of stories which we want to display? Because there's no necessity for any continuity. But we need continuities. So it's up to us to define the continuities. So to define what should be the relation with the pixels of the monitor. So, and this is what we want to observe and discuss. So this is a monitor. And there's a certain play with discontinuity. And what is the story behind that? Yeah. Then we discussed that in terms of catalogs, around these kind of things. And we discussed it with material, which is very with material. What is the A? The B, and what is the C level? And you see this A level is that. The B level is that. It's not any longer a substance. It's material. Material is an artificial substance, which is intuitively done by chemical processes. So this is the birth of chemistry, to go to matter. So, and then we had all these catalogs of, and This is very important because in the B level, the things are not used as they are. They are always in combination. You know this famous by, I think it was Sullivan, which form follows function and so on. It's always the structure or the tools behind that, because it's not any longer the substance, it's the material. And material means there's a certain intuitive way to manipulate and to construct the material. Material means I am constructed. So always the tools, the chemical, the mechanical tools and so on are behind that. And therefore there are these catalogs, and there's a huge bunch, especially because of information technology, a huge bunch of new substances, of new matters, and of new tools how to manipulate them. And these are some recent catalogs for looking at material, at matter, and the corresponding tools and what can be done with them. So you get there are hundreds of different materials and what you can do with them, all these plastics and so on. These are nice actual catalogs. And the big difference is, and this is a step into the discontinuous, and then we are leaving the idea of matter and of material, because it's, even if in these catalogs, for example, there is OLED and as a matter. This is a mistake. Matter means continuity, natural continuity. And these kinds of new substances are constructed, you see these, yeah, by ions on the substrate. This is photovoltaic. And this is a doped grid of atoms. And there are discontinuities and disorders, certain disorders in the matter, and therefore you get characteristics of this matter which are beyond intuition. So it's a monitor. So we are playing on the atomic grid, and you can do it with these minerals or inorganic stuff. And you're doing it with OLEDs, for example, with organic stuff. So you have long lines of molecules, and you're doping them as well, changing their behavior just by changing the regularity, making them discontinuous, and then just implanting what you want into these kind of things. So it's a monitor. And you're displaying certain pixels and information on there. So you're playing around with the discontinuity on discontinuities on a quantum mechanical level. And the substance is nearly doing what you can imagine. So there's no way to understand why this certain package here has something to do with energy production of electricity. So it's a complete other game than the continuity, for example, of the LP for music recording. So you have a straight line of what should happen there and so on and so on. So cleaning coal, operating on wood with CNC machines and so on. This is all the LP game, the continuous line, how to follow that. This is just discontinuities in a certain pattern, and then you get physical effect out of it as you want. So this is a monitor. So this is in matter. And then you see you have complete other game of how to produce it. This, for example, that's very important, follows all these printing things, follows the line of Moore's law, which means you have a reduction in cost 30% per year, unlimited, 30, 40, 50 years long. So if you once know what to print, you nearly immediately have an infinitive amount of this stuff, like newspapers, which just do that. So now imagine if you have not think about this new substance which is beyond matter, which has nothing to do with our understanding of nature. Yeah? It's just there, like newspapers. But imagine that not the newspapers are there, but energy, or brightness, or colorness, or temperature, whatever you want. It's just there. And this is a big difference between matter and these new discontinuous substances. So this is with material. And now the same story with structure. So we had the principal kinds of catalog, how we organize and index our environment. We started with these lists. We had certain hierarchies and so on in the B level, lists in the A level, just simple lists. On the B level, hierarchies, networks, and so on, all these kind of relations you can see. So like the LP, just see what is the relation of the tree and the apple, and with the apple and the, what's that, Birne?
Pear.
Pear, and so on. And you see, aha, this is a relation there, because they both are fruits, and so on. And you always draw that, like the LP. You always draw lines between all, whatever you want. They're drawing what the hell can be drawn. So these are the hierarchies. So and then we seen that all these kind of indexes with Google, or with Twitter, or with this, what is a map? Yes, is a map. Is a map that Klaus Demmer macht?
Self-organized
songs. Yeah, so these self-organizing maps as a very advanced indexing system has nothing to do with intuition, with the lines. So this is what we're looking with the index. What Google in principle is doing on a very rough way, and what for example the self-organizing maps are doing is that they are monitor for indexes. So you ask a certain question and then you get the intuitive construction of what you want to have. So the intuition is a rendering. It's not the original of the data. That's an important thing and an important turn and the important movement apart from modernity. And now with structure. So we have the indexes, the material, and now how to fit elements to bring them into building, into order. So we have this, for example. This is an aqueduct. I told you, I think, last lecture. And for me, it's very impressive that people, there was no chance that water is always flowing down the hill. So, and this was a mythical behavior of water. So they did not separate water from their properties. So proper water is fluid, water runs down the hill and so on, and this is the entity of water. So by this drawing of lines, separating objects from each other, concentrating in the last 500 years in of the lines between two elements, you are able to focus on the properties and construct out of properties the elements. So you are able to focus on the flowing, not the water. So you are able on focus with the coal, not only on the coal which has been poisoned before, you are focusing on, for example, the energy impact of the coal. And then you can identify the property of poisonous of this certain substance. And then you see, okay, I need the energy, I don't want the sulfate. And then they develop a process just to wash out the sulfate. So you keep the energy, which are the black, dark, and clean coal. So you need this kind of separation of objects and to properties to do that. And the same thing is with, you always separate now one object into the relation. The center point now is a line. So, and therefore, very interesting enough, you're just organizing how this machine is working, and you're not any longer focusing on the things as they are. You're focusing on movement, focusing on pressure. All these terms are new, and just focusing on that, on certain circles and so on. And the result is water is flowing up the hill. So it's coming. So you see that these very elementary things, just by looking, just by a shift of, and this is the way you see the importance of these levels of thinking, that just by looking behind the object as an entity and looking to the properties of an object and trying to design the properties, yeah, you find that water is coming up, it's running up the hill, and this very strange aqueducts are no longer needed, and every house has water now, fresh water. Unthinkable 600, 700 years ago, because water is running away. No, it's not running away any longer. So this is the infrastructure for the discontinuity. This means that the water is always flowing. You see it's coming up, and you always need the ducts and the pipes, and you need all these kind of logistics and so on. With electricity, it's simply there. There's no flow any longer. You can have it instantly at any point, any kind of energy. So it's important any point, any time. And it's important that electricity is not like water. It's a substance which was moved in a certain way. You can do anything what you want with it. You can have a propeller, a light, you can have a heater, whatever you want. Thousands of different applications. So it's a pure potential. So the electricity grid is a monitor for what we want to do. The pixels of the monitor are the power plugs. And there's no intuition what to do with that. The continuity of what we are doing is up to us. What we want to, what we are doing, what the stories we are telling on an energetic level, for example. Cleaning our tooth, having the the clock in the morning, yeah, and the coffee machine and so on. This is the kind we are playing on this energetic monitor. How we are playing around with the discontinuities. And with this freedom of discontinuity in terms of energy, we developed urban life. That's this interesting thing. It hadn't been thinkable 500 years ago, 300 years ago, and so on. You always had to care for coal, for wax, and the light, and so on. You always had to care for these kind of things. And you followed, like a hunter, you followed certain intuitive lines. You had to follow, no chance. Otherwise you would have been freezing to death and so on. So this was electricity, it's simply there. So you can do what you want. And out of five different applications, heating, yeah, cooking, lighting, this had been before, you had to carry all the resources for that. Now you have hundreds of thousands of different applications what you can do with energy. This brightness of this discontinuity. So, to build up structures, we have two different ways of building. This, I think, is the do. I don't know how this is.
Carlo Lodoli. Carlo Lodoli.
Yeah, Lodoli.
Yes, I think.
Lodoli. It's starting with an L. Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. And to, in the, to, there are three different I think at minimum three different main anchors for in modernity for architectural discourse. The first is go to history, an idealization of history, and look at history in terms of geometry, and geometry to get a certain focus on history. And these are these kind of results. The second is go on more on the energetic things. This is the 19th century. And if you look at Semper, he's always looking how to, and he's looking in history, not in the focus on a clear geometry, not in a classicistic way, on a geometrical way to find the truth and an historical anchor in the line of development of architecture, but on the climatic things. So Semper, for example, is talking about the heat, the fire, the tents, the textures, and so on and so on. He's describing buildings as growing up from the ground. So you have very rough textures in the basement, and very light, very geometrical, classical structures towards the roof. So, and he's trying to find some truth in the history of very old cultures, how they did that, and tries to tell climatic stories about the building and the different zones of the buildings and so on. So this is quite a different approach to this classicistic. They also want this anchor in history, but they look at it in a geometrical, abstract, in a logical way to reconstruct that. So, and this guy here, Palladio, is much more, he's pragmatic. So he just took, I think it's relatively simple to explain what's with Palladio. He was very successful, and with the new, in the modern times, with the new civil societies, with the urban societies, upcoming class there, and they started to make, just because of modernity, they had been rich because of trade, international trade, and so on, and they compete with the church, with the monks, and they start to compete with the kings and so on, and they wanted to do something new. And they had new uses for the building. They want to have guests and they want to have representative things, but they had not been able to copy just the church or the palace. And in a geometrical order, he just is copying some archaeological things from the Greek, from the Romans, and redesigns them as certain signs. So it's a big entrance here from the Greek. And they are just copying that. So it's an eclecticistic way of doing that. And it's very programmatic. So that this has been an architect. He has a lot of customers. The customers got new money first time. And they need new kinds of houses for new proposals. They want to make their trade, their business in there, and so on. And there was no example how to do that. A new class of in a society, rich people, and it just combined things from the Greeks and from the Romans and ordered them in a geometrical way and organized a foundation of I think up to now these are the images, what a villa is, what a the house in the city is, and so on and so on. And we just follow this line of invention. So there are a lot of major inventions just out of a very economic pragmatics. So these are the first computer experiments. This is from John Mitchell, and he analyzed on a certain level of abstraction the design of Palladio. And of course he finds these regularities, because Palladio did it exactly this way. So there's no surprise that this can be done, because Palladio is just combining it like that. So the same with Durand. And you see, but this is not a result, it's not a business. This is a didactical thing. It goes into the manufacturing and in the industrial. It opens the industrial things. It opens the architecture. It's appropriate to for the modern France and to develop all over the region. So it's a very mechanical approach to that, to reproduce it. So, and of course this can be done by computers, because it's just for that. It's the same thinking. So the idea is just having a certain geometry and have a rule how to follow. And this is a recent example. This is from 87, from Ulrich Fleming, and he I made my PhD at his chair. It's in Carnegie Mellon. So this is very famous. You have these so-called Queen Anne's houses. There are millions of them on the east coast of the US, and they all look different but are from the same kind. So there's no one like the other. So, and this is an analysis of the structure. Very few rules. Let's see the rules. And step by step, you get into more detail from 2D into 3D of the houses. Very simple. So it's not a big difference to the thing what Durand did. Very simple. What Palladio did. All the same tradition, and is able to reproduce these buildings to the very detail. So, and all the chimneys and all the bricks across the chimneys and so on. And you can have millions of them, mix them with the really built ones. An expert will not be able to distinguish whether there's an artificial one or a real one. And you can have them like this. And this is clear that you're able to do things like that. You make an analysis of 500 of these houses, and then you can have 500 thousands of the same kind. And nobody really will be able to distinguish that. But there is, and this is what Klaus always says, there's nothing new in this. That's important. Yeah? It's important to understand that by combining these kind of things, you have a very you have a certain programmatic, so you're just following the lines. So it's extremely fast, it's extremely powerful. This is what industrialization does. And industrialization does not mean that everything is the same. Yeah? And it's the same line of argumentation like Darwin did it and so on. You always see these kind of differences, and no need that everything is the same, but it's still boring. There's no new in that. So if you focus just on that it's irregular and so on, it does not mean that you do not have full control over what is going on there. This does not mean that there is some sense in that, and so on and so on. The same with, this is very interesting, how to combine it in the same modernistic approach, intuitive approach, as with Christopher Alexander. He's the same thing and formulating on all the different levels these kind of rules. An intuitive network of rules how to behave. But as an architect and computer scientist, he articulates it not for computers, but for naive builders, naive designers. So he's using, like, for this famous example of Eliza from Weizenbaum. This, you know this example, this artificial psychologist. It's a very famous program of in the area of artificial intelligence, mid 70s, also stone age in information technology. So, and Eliza was a computer program and an artificial psychologist. So, and
psychiatrist. He didn't give any marks to psychologist.
So, and clients know this is a computer. They had been explained how the computer program works. And then they go into a session. And Eliza says, "Hello, how are you?" "I'm bad." So, and then here's a table, how to behave. You say, "Yeah, why are you feeling so bad?" Eliza says, if there's the word bad, so he says, "Why are you feeling so bad?" "Ah, it's about my mother." "Oh, tell me more about your mother." So, and that's only 60 or 70 of these answers and so on. And the interesting thing is that 80% of the clients first say, "The computer understands my problem." And secondly, want to come to the next session.
But there is no next session.
No, yeah, of course, you can do it unlimited. It's very patient. Look at this. This is Eliza, very famous. So, with this, it's very important to understand these mechanisms. So, and with this background, Alexander goes and says, it's not this important to bring that to a dedicated computer program because it's very complicated to define all the rules and so on. You have a lot of trouble with that. He just programmed the clients. It's the people who are willing to build a new house or renovate their house and so on. But in the same attitude, he's programming them. So there's no difference between programming a computer and all programming people. So there's a lot of implications, of course, by Christopher Alexander there's a lot of implications, but with Eliza there's also a lot of implications. So, and therefore I think he's a very unique position because he's explicitly doing that, Christopher Alexander. And the others are always like Rittle, and all they are implicitly doing that. So all these kind of classifications and methodologies, Zwicky box or morphological boxes and so on to go to certain designs, and so all these kind of brainstorming techniques and so on, they are doing it implicitly because they are binding it back to, they say, it is scientific because it's a kind of logic or geometry, an intuition behind that. So they are doing it more implicitly, like Christopher Alexander. And Christopher Alexander, sorely, got very sick very soon and got a lot of prominence, especially in the with the information technology people. And he is completely out of the game with the architects, but with the computer science, he's very famous.
He's good friends with Prince Charles.
Yeah. Because everything is so, you have these kind of rules, but you can have other rule sets, you can have any rule set. It's nearly unimportant. And he has a rule set to have all these, that's why he's friends with Prince Charles, all these nice. nice English style environments and details. But it's working from the urban scale to the very detailed scale, and it's a rule set of 500 rules and illustrated, and people really liked it with that. This is a very, you might have seen that already. This is the City Engine, as a spin-off of a colleague from the computer graphic department at ETH. And they are doing analysis of, for example, skyscraper. They have this few code, and then you're doing this rendering, and they're doing that mainly for the film industry. So you can have all these fancy environments without drawing them all. So you have a grammar for doing that. So, and let's see that as well. The Pompeii. I really like that. Because they are rendering the streets while you are running across around the corner. Then they are just rendering the streets. Before that, it has not been there. That's, I think it's really crazy. Yeah, they easily can do it like Inception. So what are you? It just depends on what you are doing, and everything is reorganized like that. If you, in principle, you can do it in the virtual space, just in real time. Can change the whole world just by changing your mood. So, but this all is intuition. We have this.
Is that the third one?
No, so this all
energy,
is second.
Energy and intuition. Or
this is, I wanted to show, this all is second. That's a problematic part with that.
Who did this?
The same group. That's Professor Luc van Gool. And he's doing fancy stuff. These are the lines. There's no discontinuity, nearly no. Of course, if it jumps from two to three windows and so on, they have a discontinuity. But the Pascal Müller is a major. And Luc van Gool is a professor. But the principal idea behind that is, let's like with a machine, with the water pump. So you have a machinery behind that. This machinery is driven by a certain understanding of language. It's a grammar, a string grammar. You're manipulating the strings with logics. You have a certain hierarchy behind that. All this is intuition. This is modernity. So this culture is 500 years now here in Europe. And you're manipulating the strings. Noam Chomsky is a major person who did this with linguistics. So they are referring to that, using this kind of technology. So you have a string, manipulating the string with certain logic. Go to Hilbert, you find the appropriate, the corresponding mathematics behind that. Manipulating the strings and then rendering it to catch. So it's the same, it's really the same like having differential equations for the load of the pump, calculating all this, like mechanical engineering do that, and then bring it into a certain construction form and so on. So the mechanical engineers always have differential equations about what is the strength, the power, the pressure, and so on, how this behaves, and they are doing a machine out of that. So the idea is to have a hidden structure, but to look at the structure as a topology, which means a line like a theater behind the form. So the theater itself is a form. So you have relations, shortest ways, and path, and so on. You always have these kind of graphs and so on, and diagrams, and all these kind of things. So, and if you're, and the idea of modernity is, if you are well in the structure behind that, then you have a good form. Then this is only an example that you, of course, with computers, you're able to play around with them with this very, very artistic. But they didn't make the step beyond intuition. So therefore, this the strange thing with Mitchell, for example, I learned it as a student, and I was really surprised and so on, and I thought, wow, now with computers we can reinvent architecture. Because Mitchell found that Palladio 400 years ago behaved like that. No, it's just the same attitude. It's just a continuation in the kind of thinking, but Palladio was doing it with the pencil and then with stones, and Mitchell had with the computer and then with the screen. But thinking is the same. So this is so the same with Darwin. You have all these lines. He introduced the populations, and is analyzing all the different elements, classifying them in a hierarchy, and finding a. You have these kind of topologies, hierarchies. Certain one is he's looking at certain certain parameters, certain qualities, certain properties, classifying them. He's looking at properties which are intuitive. Yeah, and then he looks at populations of them. And found defined a certain mechanism for with evolution, and the strongest, the fittest, and survive, and the very simple rules, logical rule, which might explain the development of the different species. But it's a completely intuitive, geometrical process behind the formal things we can observe. So it's always concentrating not any longer in counting elements, but on in looking at properties, and is looking for a mechanism to explain the properties. And this is how he subdivided the elements into properties and mechanisms. It's the same with the coal, cleaning the coal, just understanding that, making something out of it. The same with the buildings, just analyzing, reproducing them. This is Semper, the one of analysis of some houses and housing constructions somewhere in Tahiti and so on, to find out what is the origin of building in a climatic environment. So, in a building in a milieu of properties, of certain properties around climatic things, not any longer architectural theory with objects, but with properties. Getting an anchor point in history. And so I don't know whether he traveled around by himself or so he just made sketches how they did it and so on and developed some theory how this might have been worked and out and developed. In this case, to make a theory for new buildings. And then he is doing that in a classicistical way. Well, this is the main building of the ETH in Zurich. And out of this kind of analysis, he made a Lac du Rhône, not in a geometrical, mechanical way, but now on a way on the properties, on Stimmung, on the moods, on this is the origin of the term nature. You see how this works in comparison to du Rhône. Because nature means you're not any longer focusing, you see, on the objects. It's just on how they relate, how what the greenness is, what the level of texture, of detail, and all these. Was Stimmungen heißt? The climate, atmosphere is, and so on, how they interrelate, and so on. Yeah. Now, here in postmodernity, this is Aldo Rossi, I think. Very similar thing. This is where the examples with Eliza and so on are at the same time. So somehow a revival of these kind of ideas. This is on the geometrical. So this is a principal geometrical reference, classicistic one with Rossi, or this is one of my favorite theorists, is Rainer Benham. He started with the fire and with the climatic. He makes an architectural theory. It's very obscure. Very few people really understand him, like him. He's like an anarchic guy. And he has an architecture on the well-tempered environment. So he is looking for the anchor of the evolvement of architecture, still working in this idea of an evolvement, evolutionary approach of architecture, looking at them in terms of populations. But the anchor point is the climatic, like Zempa. So it's a fire. And the distribution of and the control of temperatures, and these with archigram and so on. And you see these kind of. And if you, for example, now look at the pictures, for example, with the slogans of this building, low X building here, look at the slogans, it's just that way. And with all the heat pumps, and you have in summer you are heating the ground, in winter you're cooling the ground, and you have the climatic stable here, and watch it, Hans Gleibe, who is just doing the same thing. Yeah. These kind of artifacts. So, and now, so all this is B. Following certain lines in direct geometry, certain lines in the in structures, certain lines in certain behavior, you try to project and to analyze and so on. So it's always on following certain lines, certain processes, and so on. And defining machines following these lines, so you get more comfort and so on, bringing that into to matter and material, all these kind of things. So, and now, and a lot of theories how to make buildings out of that. So, it's a rough sketch. So now, I want to follow a line how this might be that. We get in architecture get the idea of what this discontinuity is, what is a monitor like developments. This might be so, and just as an experiment. And this is what I worked in. This is my context. This is from Konrad Wachsmann. And you see, this is a universal node. This is something like a pixel. So this is the any construction. So this is a node which has as few as possible to do with what is to be done with it. Do you have to?
Like,
Yeah, this is an every, but yeah. So, look at this. You might know that this is fractals and so on. This is with Hilbert. In this case, it's the iteration of the piano curve. So you have one, and imagine you have a certain level of details in an architectural sketch, in an architectural construction, and you are first sketching, might be here, and then you go into more detail and so on and so on. So here you see, if this is an element, this is fixed here, then this is fixed here, 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 and then so on. And then you go into detail of this one, and you replace this first sketch with a more detailed by this rule, by this sequence of connections. Then you are here, go here, and so on. And you can go in here. And for example, the rules to define, to make this element here more precise is the same as of here. Just can go in there. So now you have, if you have these certain patterns, how they fit to each other. And you can have production rules, how to go into more detail. And you see, you can have this kind of system with only very few elements. And you can, for example, have a P, and the P is a P, Q, P, S, R, S, P, Q, P. So this can be, so if you find a P here, you just can have this sequence and put it in there. So you can do it. So you have a, for example, a module of a building, construction element. This might be, for example, this one. Put it here. You have these certain edges. So you have a D axis where you have a connection. Here and here, this is D. When you have no connection, this is C. And the internal side, opposite side is A, B, B, to there. So then you can have this element, opposite element, the same element. So these kind of elements to construct and to fit them, that they have a closed, it's the same with the building there. Just to get all this fit with very few elements, you can have this production rule to do that. If you put that into physical elements, you can have those elements. See these combinations to make a cube out of very few elements. The colors are the elements. So the yellows are the same, the green are the same, the blue are the same. They can be coded like that, and they can be built like that. You can have principal organization like that. Put them together. Now this is a hierarchy. So you see, if you put them together, you see here D, D, A, A. The outside is D, A, D, A. And this is the same level like D, D. You see here D, D, A, 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 A. So this is, you can have a recursive structure. So you can have an infinite amount of constructions. You can deform this kind of grid when this is fitting. So, and then you have, for example, this kind of facade. You can build up a complete building with this kind of grid. Yeah. So you can have very certain grammars just to construct these kind of endless structures. And this is with a motion machine. This is from Konrad Wachsmann, this machine. Wait, where is this? You always have the element itself and correspondingly the movement how to fit these kind of things. So it's just another rendering into. And you can have these component based elements. This is another rendering, this is another rendering of the same. You can build them without any gap. Reorganize them like a crystal. And you can have very transparent views to very big constructions like that. So if you want to have this kind of crystalline structure, you have a very, very certain language how to do that. And this language has no meaning. This has no form. It's just a language how to you are able to bring all these into stability and to bring them into that they are fitting and they are stable. And you nearly can put any construction into this principle crystallinic mathematical description. This is, I think, for me it's very interesting. Now you have to dope that, yeah? So, with this language, this is what I want to show you. This is what I did in my research. This is from 97, the end of my research. So what now you can do is, on this grid, how to you are able to play on this principal structure. And to put images on them, on that. Play around and to make articulations on that. But this is a rough test of argumentation. I'm not really sure. So this, for example, is of a building. This is a principal layout of the construction. So these are the beams. Somewhere here is a beam. Somewhere here is a beam. Then a column. And this is a beam. Somewhere. So this is 1.20 meters. Somewhere. So it's just a sketch, very rough. We have a certain pattern of this building. Next level. These are the... Was heißt Trasse? Design with scripting, though the first is these principal lines, very off, somewhere there should be a beam or a column and so on. These are the roots. So you decide I have a certain kind of construction and I need 20 centimeter, 43 20 centimeters, a double beam. So you have a certain construction, but you do not think
it's not yet important whether it's steel or whatever you want. So these are the roots. You have the principal lines, now you have the roots.
And the third level is, this is for the same for the facade. And this is the third level.
And then you have the certain elements. This is right. This is my professor. Component-based building systems. There's one for factory halls. It's called the Maxi MIDI. This is the one we have here. It's a construction like this. Here, it's built like that. These are all the elements and so on. And this is how it is constructed. And everything can be configured and reconfigured without any disturbing any element, inclusively the technical infrastructure. Yeah, and so by choosing the system, the principal line means you need these certain components at this location. So we have three different levels of design: the lines, we have the roots, and then we have the certain elements.
We're doing the same with the facade. These are the elements for the facade, with the ceiling and so on. These all are systems from the 70s, 80s, so they're a little old-fashioned. The lights and so on, the roof. And now look at this.
So we have these three levels of detail, and now there is a kind of articulation. What you want to do there? So it's something like the functional needs you define. For example, you have these are the rooms. How you want? What you want to do there? So it's one smaller room, a bigger one, so on. Or this is a staircase. These are the sanitary things. There's a code for that. This is a huge open space, office space, and so on.
It's bad with the resolution.
So, again, you have these functional leads. Then you have, again, the roots.
You have the elements,
all these kind of elements here. Also.
So, next level, you go into the rooms.
The detectives.
And you say what do you want to do within one room? For example, this is a
this.
No, I can't show you. It's not working with the beamer. No, it's not working with the beamer. I think we'll do that later. Es wird nicht gut. Not good. We have to check that with other colors and so on. Sorry, that's not working. So imagine you have this kind of principal crystalline structure. I have to prepare that in another way. So it's complicated to explain, and if this is, you can't see only half of it, it's impossible to see. It's very experimental for me to use. So, but imagine you have these kind of principal grids, which are as abstract as possible. You're very near to these kind of grids for a real monitor. So this is working. You have all these nodes here. These are light-emitting diodes in your monitor, in the video beamer. And if you put in here electrical current, and for example here, then this diode is bright. And then you move here, and then the other brightness will very fast go through there, and all the lamps are on and off and so on. So this is a mechanism of how to you're just playing around horizontally and vertically with certain electrical currencies, and the dots are blinking extremely fast. So this is how you're playing with this generic infrastructure.